The word is a light unto our path. In the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord from Scripture. We are given guidance through the word. And he also prayed that they would be filled. Now, we looked at that also last week, and that means filled to the brim. They would be filled to the brim with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? So they could discern. And as it ties into our next verse, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So Paul is praying for these dear saints. He's praying for these dear saints daily. And we know that he never ever meant them. But yet he's still lifting them up in prayer. And this shows the heart that Paul had for believers, for other believers, the ones he's met and the ones he's never met. And this is what a faithful pastor desires, that God's sheep would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, as Scripture says. A preacher, we desire for you to grow in grace, for you to grow in the knowledge of the truth, to be equipped through the reading of the Word, to face things that we're going to face, because we will face trials. They come all the time. I remember what one grace preacher, and I think I've mentioned this before, but it's worth repeating. He told me not long ago, and he was preaching that was Brother Norm Wells out in Oregon, and he said he desires that the sheep sitting under his preaching would surpass him in the knowledge of Scripture, would grow in the knowledge. And this is the desire of every preacher. We desire that you would grow in the grace and the knowledge and truth of the Scriptures. I love it when folks send me sermons or when folks come up with Scriptures and we talk about them. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So Paul here desires that the saints at Colossae would be filled to the brim with spiritual understanding and wisdom. And we see that in verse 9. That ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now verse 9, one commentator said, is the source of the Christian's walk. The source of the Christian's walk. And Paul's praying that God would fill the believers with his revealed will in the Scriptures, and that they would be filled with wisdom, spiritual understanding, to know when a man is telling them the truth or lying to them. Because God, the Holy Spirit, gives us discernment to tell that which is error and that which is truth. Now, before we go too far, too, I have to state again, and we know this by reading the text, but it's good to state it again, that Paul is here praying for believers. He's not praying for unbelievers here. He's praying for the believers, for the Colossian saints that have been pardoned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that. Look at verse 4. He's praying for those who've been accepted in Christ, forgiven for all their sins, those who are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Look at verse 4 and 5. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? And then look at down in verse 21 and 22 of our same chapter. He's praying for the believers at Colossae. And look, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now there's a verse that I just need to have that before me all the time. It's a wonderful verse that God in Christ presents us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the Father's sight. So he's speaking only to the believers. And a lot of error could be cleared up by reading who these letters are written to. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. He's writing to those who have been saved and bought by the blood of the Lamb. Those who by the Holy Spirit will live a life worthy of the Lord. We can't do it on our own. We can't walk a holy life in our flesh. We must be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Beloved, we cannot walk worthy of the Lord in our flesh. We cannot please God in our flesh. We cannot be fruitful in every good work, can we? In our flesh. It's not natural for us. We cannot grow in grace on our own. We can only grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ by God the Holy Spirit working in us, having us grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. So let us remember when it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, that we cannot do this in our own strength, beloved. But that it is God who gives us the strength to do this. And we'll look at that later on in the message. But this Hebrews 11:6 ties right in that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So only believers. This is only speaking to believers. And beloved, this walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, it's our godly conduct. Not only at church. Not only at church. But in our everyday lives. Brother Newell, you prayed about that last week, about us walking, desiring to serve Christ, desiring to honor Him in our lives, in our job, in our home, and out in everyday life as we meet people too. Our conduct should be the same. We're not one person at church and another person when we leave. Religion's like that. But not grace. Because we know we're all a bunch of sinners. Right? We do. We do. So Paul has asked that they would be filled with wisdom and knowledge. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Paul's praying. He's petitioning God that they would be filled with all wisdom and knowledge. And we pray this ourselves, don't we? Oh Lord, teach me thy ways. We want to act according to this wisdom and knowledge that we learn. We don't rest in our knowledge. One commentator said this, I can't take this as my own. He said this, we don't rest in our knowledge, but we put it into practice. And we learn from Scripture how to live our lives. Now, I understand there's hypocrites. I understand that. I understand that there's people who profess one thing and do another. That's a reality. It ought not to be. But it's true. But I have enough sin in my own life to not be looking at other folks. And remember, we're all just a bunch of sinners. It's like I've heard grace preachers say this, and I agree. Don't look to me. Look to Christ. He's the perfect one. If you look at us, you're going to be disappointed. Because men will let you down. But Christ never will. Never. He lived the perfect life. in the room instead of all his people. But look at Ephesians chapter 5. And keep in mind, we don't rest in our knowledge, but we put it into practice. Look at this, Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Beloved, we're to walk in love. We're to walk in love. As Christ also had loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Christ gave his life for his people. Before God. His sacrifice was before God for our sins. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather given of thanks. Oh, we're to give thanks. For what? For all that Christ has done for us. Oh, it's marvelous. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Every hypocrite will be found out. Look at this. But be ye therefore not partakers, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Look at this. For ye were sometimes darkness. Brother John, you were sometimes darkness. I was sometimes darkness. But look what Scripture says. This is marvelous. But now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, see, here it is again. This just keeps coming. We can't do it on our own, beloved. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We were in total darkness at one time. Those of us who are saved. We didn't have a clue about God or about spiritual things. We did whatever the flesh wanted, and we had no care for God. I didn't have any care for God. I didn't have any conviction of sin. Like I said, and I was talking to a guy this week about that. I said, yeah, the only time that I cried out to God was when I was in trouble. And he said, my neighbor's a Catholic and he does the same thing. I said, yeah, I know, because that's what I used to do. And we gloried in ourselves. When I was in religion, I really gloried in myself. Not in God, but now, beloved, now we who are saved, we walk in the light of the Lord. And what do we want to do? We want to give Him all the glory. And we want to glorify Him in our lives too, don't we? We want to walk worthy of the Lord. We can't do it in our own strength. We'll see that later. But we want to. We desire that. We're no longer in darkness. We've been translated from darkness to light. Go back to Colossians again. And look at this marvelous portion. We'll be heading there in the next couple of weeks. But look at this marvelous portion of Scripture. We were translated from darkness to light by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. Given thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you notice we're being operated upon? Nowhere does it say we flee to Him on our own, right? No, we're being operated upon. It doesn't say anything about a decision. It says, given thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And all that power, it had us in its clutches. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Remember in Ephesians? Darkness to light. Darkness to light. In whom we have. It isn't a maybe. In whom we have. We have this. Believers have this. Redemption. through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh. So as children of the light, we're not to walk in darkness, but we're to, you know, we still sin, don't we? Yeah, to our shame we do. But I ask you this. Do you desire it like you used to? No, we don't, do we? We hate it in us more than in anyone else. We're to walk by faith and truth and holiness. We live and walk as those who are in Christ, seeking to glorify God, which is the exact opposite of how we used to live. We didn't have any desire to glorify God before. We didn't have any desire for the things of Christ and the things of the gospel. And now we do. Oh, and remember this always, and this is a vein that I'll keep hitting tonight, is this cannot be done by natural man. It's not something we can muster up. Because natural man has no care for God and no care for the things of God. And Scripture declares, ye must be born again. You must be born again. Remember, we're the branches. He's the vine. We bear the fruit of the Spirit, which God works in us. He works it in us. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Because they are connected. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Beloved, the more we grow in grace, the more we grow in the knowledge of his will, the more we grow in wisdom and understanding, the more we want to glorify God. The more it's less about us and more about him. Why do we have it, the messages go out on the internet to glorify God? That sinners may be brought to him. That saints may be built up in Christ. That we may glorify our great King for what he has done for us. Paul here, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is also meeting the Gnostic error head on. He's meeting the Gnostic error head on. Notice in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, in the desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he's praying that they would have revealed to them the will of God in their lives, and that they would grow in the knowledge and grace and wisdom of God. And he's praying that God would give them this to him, right? He's countering the Gnostic teaching, which says that it's a secret knowledge that can only be revealed by some. Paul's saying, no. Only God can reveal this to you. And beloved, we have these works mongers and these religious merchandisers with us right now, today, 2,000 years later, we have them here right now. And they say things like this. Read this book to help you have a closer walk with Jesus. They're always pawning things off on people. Or use this method or this technique and you'll have a closer walk with God. They claim to have the power to unlock secrets. They tell people, just put your seed money in and it's going to quadruple or it's going to do whatever. They claim to have the power to unlock the secrets to real spiritual health and wellness that others have not discovered, and it can be yours for $19.99. Right? They do that, don't they? They make a merchandise. They make a merchandise out of things. Mail for this prayer shawl. Your prayers will be extra special. Merchandisers. They're nothing but like the Gnostics who believed they had special power. The same Gnostic heresy is here today. And this is the very thing that Paul is hitting right on the head. Hitting right on the head. He's praying to the one and the only one who can reveal this knowledge to believers. And it comes by the Holy Spirit of God teaching us through this word, illuminating scriptures. How many times have we been reading and go, I never saw that before. And you may have read that text 100 times. Well, it was the time for you to have it revealed to you. As we learn more and more about who God is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what His will is for us, and this all comes by the Holy Spirit revealing it to us, right? Illuminating the Scriptures. It leads us to want to lead a life that is pleasing to God and that glorifies God. And I ask you this. I mentioned it earlier. I ask it again. Do you sin more than you want? I do. Yeah. But one day, beloved, one day we will be free from the presence of sin. What a glorious day that'll be for us. Free from the presence. Right now, we're free from the power of sin, right? It doesn't have the dominion it once held on us. When we were in darkness, oh, what. It had power over us, but it doesn't have the power that it once had. But one day, not only will we be free from the power, but the presence of sin. And we'll be in the presence of our great King. Oh, what a glorious day. But for now, while we pilgrimage through this world, we struggle with sin every second. Every second. But the difference is now that for those of us who are saved is that we are convicted of our sin. And don't ever think that repentance is a one-time thing. I remember Henry Mahan saying, we come to Christ and we continue to come to Christ. We repent and we continue to repent. Our life becomes a life of repentance. We're saved, but we continue to come to God. As He reveals more and more to us of who we are and what we are. And as I said, before the Lord saved us, we didn't have this same feeling about sin, did we? Were you ever really convicted about your sin before the Lord saved you? I wasn't really, like I said. You know, I felt bad here and there, but Not like now when we get convicted of our sin. And we didn't care about the things of God. And let us remember that in our own strength we can do nothing. In our own strength we can do nothing. We must be strengthened by God's might. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. We must be strengthened by God's own power to make it through this world of woe. We cannot do it on our own. We can't. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And then put your finger in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Philippians 4, 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Without Christ, I'm nothing. We saw that on Sunday, right? But the Scripture declares I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Now the health, wealth guys, they get a hold of that and they just run with that. The Lord Jesus Christ, though, gives us strength when we go through trials. When a trial comes up, He gives us strength. He gives us grace. He gives dying saints dying grace. I've seen it happen, and it's amazing. He gives us strength to bear whatever comes. Whatever comes our way, He gives us strength to bear that. And remember, He already knows what's coming. This brings us great comfort. In talking to a very dear brother about this very thing, about how we can do nothing and Christ must strengthen us, in talking to a very dear brother about this, his reply was, "Thank goodness, because I have no strength. I have no strength." And is this not the reply of all who have been redeemed by the Lamb? We don't have any strength when it comes to different trials and tribulations, do we? They seem like mountains before us. But as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ our Lord, His power strengthens us with all might in the inner man. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Without Christ, we can do nothing. But the Holy Spirit dwells within us and enables us in each trial and tribulation to lay hold to our heart what Paul said. And we're all familiar with these words. But think of it in light of what we're looking at. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." The Lord said that to Paul, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Look at this. "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness." Oh, when we're weak, He is strong. When we're weak, He is strong. "Most gladly, therefore," and this is Paul's reply, "most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He's being strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God. "Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Let us think on this. How could Paul say these words? How can we rest in Christ when we're going through various trials and burdens in our lives? Because the Holy Spirit strengthens us and gives us grace to make it through them. Think of this about growing in grace. We now know that the absolute sovereign will of God works for our good in His glory, right? We know that from Scripture. We didn't know it before. And knowing that we are on the path that He has ordained for us. And think of this, Paul knew this. Paul knew that this was ordained of God. Knowing that we are on the path that He has ordained for us will enable us to go through trials and sufferings that He has appointed for each one of us with exceeding joy. When it says "most gladly" in the Greek, it says "with great pleasure." Now, no one takes pleasure in trials, right? I remember Donnie saying, "No one likes going through trials." No one does. But Paul, with great pleasure, knows that God is working this for His good and for God's glory. All strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God to endure this thorn with joy. And as I said, I've seen this time and time again. When a saint of God is going through something, the joy of the Lord is their strength. And it's amazing to see. I remember going and visiting Brother John Mitchell. He was a preacher out in Montana. And I had went there and visited a few times. And I was there, and I thought, well, you know, maybe we could go see Brother John. And I thought, you know, in our pride, we think, well, I'll go minister to him, right? You know? I came out of there on cloud nine. He ministered to me, and he's dying. He's just putting scripture out after scripture and saying, Brother Wayne, I'm fleshing this out now. I'm living these scriptures now. I'm resting in Christ. I'm ready to go, but only if it's his will. Well, he's in glory now. But it was amazing to see that. The peace and the joy that he had. And God provides that in the time of need. Let's go back to our text in Colossians 1, 9, and 10. And our prayer, isn't it, is may God give us the strength and the grace when we go through various things. Colossians 1, 9, and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, Paul's praying that they be filled with the knowledge of his will in their lives. He first asks for knowledge and then tells them they need to practice. How shall men act according to the will of God or rest in the will of God if they don't know it? How are we to rest? And when I say rest, I don't mean we're just idle. I mean resting in a trial. Something comes up and we can just, I'm just going to rest in Christ about that. The whole political thing that's going on. Oh, it's just, we see this, just, oh my goodness. God already knows who's going to be president. Yeah, I can rest in that. I can rest in that. And we're just to trust him. So as we learn and grow in grace, we learn that all things happen in our lives for our good again and his glory. No matter how hard they are. And sometimes they're hard. Sometimes they're painful. And I know every one of us here has went through different things. I know. But we can look back, we believers can look back and say that was for our good. And for his glory. For his glory. Oh, we are strengthened by God, the Holy Spirit, teaching us these things and giving us strength to endure the storms of life. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He points us right to Christ. He points us right to Christ. We rest in the knowledge that God is in control and that he has ordained what he will. And he has ordained what we will go through. And he gives us the grace and the strength to make it through what comes to pass in our lives. John Gill says, speaking of Christians knowing the knowledge of his will, spoken of in verse 9 and then put in practice in verse 10, he says this, and when they know it, they should not rest in their knowledge, but put it into practice. So when a storm comes up, or a trial, we can say, God, you've ordained this, and I'm going to trust you. I know it's going to be difficult, and it's often hard. It's often hard for us. As Brother Joe Terrell said, the hardest thing for us is just to enter into the rest of Christ, isn't it? It's difficult. But we ought to. And that's the thing. Isn't that our hope when things are swirling around us and we see things and we're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And we just look. And everything just fades away. It just fades away. And let us remember this, that for the unregenerate man, it's impossible for him, for them to please God in their natural state. There's nothing that we can do that is pleasing to God but through Christ. But through Christ. We're only accepted in Christ. And anything we do that is good is only through Christ, by faith, in seeking to glorify God. He's the vine and we're the branches. The branches are filled with fruit only because they receive nourishment and strength through the vine. And they bring forth glory to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2 and put your finger in Matthew 25. So then the goal of the Christian's life is to glorify God, right? And enjoy Him forever. We're to glorify God and to learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth. But to glorify God. Look at Ephesians 2:10. Look at this. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And in our text, right, it says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And here it says, though, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, folks often say, well, and I've heard Armenians pull this out or other folks pull this out and say, well, faith without works is dead. And they're usually shocked when I say, yeah, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. But those works in no way save. They're fruit of a saved person. Because Scripture declares right there, right? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Believers do good works. The Spirit that lives in us is the Spirit of love, joy, faith, humility, and truth. And our calling is a holy calling, isn't it? It's a holy calling. Our Father is a merciful and holy Father. Our walk is with Him. Look at Matthew 25. Do you know that we do not have a clue when we do these good works? If so, I remember in religion, you know, and oh my, it was horrible. You know, you're doing things and you think, oh, I just did a good job. I get a reward for that. Right? It's horrible stuff. It's horrible. Do you know that believers don't have a clue when they do good works? Not a clue. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered or thirst or stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. Believers have no clue. No clue when they do these works. Okay, here we are. Then shall the righteous, verse 37, answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as that ye have done it unto the least, or one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. See, the believers have no clue. In contrast, that to Matthew 7, when the crew of religious folks say, "But Lord, we did all these wonderful things for you." And he said, "Depart from me, because I never knew you." See, believers don't have a clue when they're doing these things. Not a clue. Why? So God gets all the glory. It all goes to Him. He gets it all. He gets it all, beloved. It's the opposite of works-based religion, where your salvation and your walk is dependent upon your strength and dependent upon what you do. And man is continually glorying in what they've done. And they will tell you what they've done. I know, because I used to. Oh, but the believer says, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And we're quick to give Him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. So this is the opposite of works-based religion, where your salvation is dependent upon you and your walk is dependent upon you. Oh no, we are strengthened by God the Holy Spirit. And it is Him, it is God working in us to do His good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2, look at this. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed," verse 12, "not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it," look at verse 13, "for it is God which worketh in you." Oh, beloved. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and murmurings and disputation, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Remember, darkness to light. Oh, it's marvelous. Marvelous. God worketh in you both to do His will and His good pleasure. Back to our text in Colossians 1:10, and just a little bit, just a few more words on this, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work." We're only fruitful by the Holy Spirit working in us, and we don't even know when we do these things. "And increasing in the knowledge of God. If we have faith and hope and love, it is desirable for us to add to these a fullness of knowledge." Now, we are never going to learn it all. We're just scratching the surface. We're just scratching the surface. But as believers, do we not hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do we not desire to know more about our King? More about our God? Oh, we hunger and thirst for righteousness. And this is what Paul's praying for the Colossians. That they would hunger and thirst after righteousness. That they would desire to hear, as Brother John prayed, "Oh, we want to hear the gospel." We desire to hear more about our wonderful Savior. More about His providential workings, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Not only in our lives, but in the lives of people who have went before us. God's wonderful doings. Oh, and doesn't it give you hope and strength when you read about a demoniac who was cutting himself and chained up? They tried to chain him and he broke the chains. That's a chains of religion. He broke because man was trying to attempt to help him and he broke all that. But when Christ Jesus our Lord comes, He's sitting at the feet of Christ. Christ in his right mind, and he's clothed. Oh, it pictures us being clothed in the righteousness of Christ and in our right mind. It's marvelous. And it gives us great hope. And it gives us peace. Great peace. Oh. And don't we desire that others would increase in the knowledge of God and grow in the grace of God? That new believers that we know, that they would grow in the faith. That God would equip them to go through the trials that they will go through. Give them grace and strength. This is why it's so important for us to pray for one another. To keep lifting each other up in prayer. Because we're all going through different things. We really are. Oh, may God have us grow. May God have us be fruitful. May He have us grow in the knowledge of who He is and what He has done. It's depthless. We'll never mine it. Oh. And when a person thinks they've arrived, they're in a heap of trouble. We're in a heap of trouble. Because we're always learning. We're always growing. And we're always quick to give Him all the glory. Brother John, can we do He Hideth My Soul? I'm going to have to just start putting a second song in, aren't I?
He Hideth My Soul. 258, if you turn where He Hideth My Soul. All right, let's stand.